are in Psalm 119 tonight. And in the Psalm, we know that it communicates a desire for the Word of God. You couldn't help notice that if you read through it. Of course, when I'm preparing for messages, I read through the Psalm and try to bring the points together that fit with the particular portion that we're looking at. It's much too big to look at it as a whole, although we could do that. I think it's very instructive for us to just look at one section at a time. Of course, we have a prayer here in verse 18, and that really is the core of this particular section. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." This is what he prays in verse 18. And then you have really verses 19 and 20 undergirding the prayer. The reason given for having his eyes open is here at the second part of verse 18, that he might see these wondrous things from God's law. But then you have the wonderful support here of the brevity of life and the breaking of the soul. That's really what verse 19 is telling us when he understands the brevity of life and speaking about life from the perspective of a stranger. That's what it's like. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim here on this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I have a mansion just over the hillside. We just heard that. So the idea is we're always looking toward heaven. I think that ties in with one of the points here tonight. And then second, this prompts within him a great longing, a great desire from deep within him. That I think that's what it means when he says a breaking of the soul. The idea of his soul breaking in within him there in verse 20. And open my eyes that I may see all of this. That's what he's saying. And if we're honest, if we look at the psalm and we think about what he's saying and what he has put out there for us to think about before we pray tonight, at least I feel this way, maybe you do too, that we come at the psalm with some level of shame or regret because we know that we don't have that same intensity and that same devotion toward the words of God that the psalmist does. We know that we haven't arrived there. All of us are in the same boat. There will be times when the psalmist throughout the psalm, and I read through it several times, where he does express his desire, but I couldn't find any verse that expresses his desire in the way that he does in verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments, he says, at all times. So note the word breaks and all, and then kind of compare that to your life, and I think that's where the conviction comes in. Right? Does our soul really break for the judgments of God, for the words of God? That's what judgments is talking about here. He uses testimonies, judgments, all referring to the idea of God's words. And so these words are very important to us. Now the question that we ask tonight is, why did the psalmist have such a great desire for God's words? And if we answer that question, then maybe we will put ourselves in a place where we can have that very same desire for the words of God. If we answer the question right, we can change our own attitudes and get back on track again. We can know our Bible by knowing our God. And so there are three crucial points that we need to make from the psalm tonight. We could make a ton more, but at least these three core ideas are within the psalm. First of all, we find the personality of God in his words. Second, we find the provision of God in his words. And then third, we find the promise of God in his words. Now let's look at this first one. We find the personality of God in his words. Now where does the psalm support this point? Well, notice verse 7, for instance. We learn from verse 7 in our Bibles that the Lord is righteous. Verse 68, the Lord is good. Verse 64, he is merciful. Verses 75 and 90, he is faithful and to be feared in verses 79 and verse 120. He is filled with loving kindness. That's a tender, loving mercy. That's such a crucial word in the Old Testament in verse 88. And in verse 134, he is the all-wise sovereign redeemer in complete power and in complete control. And we look to him to lead us. We learn about who God is from the words here in Psalm 119. You say, well, can't we figure out who God is apart from the words of God? And the answer is, to an extent, we can know him in creation. We can see his design all around us, but we don't really understand him until we are in his word and his word reveals him to us. Psalm 138 and verse 2 says, you have magnified your word above all your name. I mean, think about that. His word, he said, has been magnified above all his name. And so the words of God, if we're going to know who God is and what God is doing, that's what the name of God means. We're going to need to know these words. They need to be a part of us. Before Adam fell, he walked with God in the cool of the garden. The scriptures tell us that he had discourse with God while he was walking with God. We don't sing the song too much anymore, but I really like it, in the garden. The fellowship that we have with God, we walk with him, we talk with him, and we know that he's there. Our souls need to break with longing over the words of God at all times. We have access to something in front of us in our Bibles, and either we're going to value what we have or we're going to take it for granted, and this happens every day. We find then, first of all, the personality of God in his words. Secondly, we find the provision of God in his words. Where is this in the psalm? Well, verse 9. Verse 9 says, when we take heed according to his word, then that's how we find cleansing. In verse 11, his words keep us from sinning. I mean, not to the point where we'll be sinless, but it prevents us from doing something that would bring shame to God, to us, to our families, to our churches. His words enlarge our hearts, verse 32. We find mercies in accordance with his words, verse 41. All of these things have been provided for us in his word. We find liberty in his words, true liberty, not the licentiousness that is mistaken for liberty today. We find liberty in his words, verse 45. We find life and comfort in the words of God. He makes us wiser than our enemies when we are in his word, verse 98. His word restrains us from every evil way. It's all encompassing there in verse 101. The key is, will we take that way of escape that he provides for us? He provides it, but it's up to us to take it. We experience revival. He mentions this a few times, but he mentions it in verse 107. We experience revival through his word. We find safety in verse 117 and a proper respect and a fear of God through his words in verse 120. It is through God's words that we become acutely aware of his presence. That's part of the fear of God, knowing that he is here with us right now. That's verse 151. His words provide great peace, it says in verse 165. And so we have to, that's just a sampling. You can find much more as you read the psalm. So we ask the question, what do I need tonight? What is it that I really need? Do whatever it is, it's provided for you right here in his words. Do you need to be forgiven? The word of God says that there is a fountain open wide for you where you can experience cleansing and forgiveness. People in life might not forgive you, but he will forgive you. He will set you on good plates, on solid ground. Do you need direction because you're navigating a scary time in your life right now? A change, a trial, a struggle with someone? You can find what you need. You can find what you need to navigate that very difficult situation. You can find it in his words. Do you need help in time of trouble? Well, there's answers for all of those troubles in the words of God. We find personality, the personality of God in his words. We find a provision from God in his words. And then finally, we find the promise of God in his words. This is what I was talking about when I was talking about heaven. Our great and glorious hope is anchored in the words of God. That's what I mean. I'm using the word promise in the sense of hope tonight. We have a great and blessed hope awaiting for us. This is a promise that God has made to us. Don't let anybody destroy that. Don't get your mind off of that future day when God will make everything right. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. God will not pour reproach or contempt upon you one day. He will set you in good, pleasant places. We long for that day because we fail him so often in this day. And so the psalmist says in verse 68, for example, you are good and do good. Banks on that. Afflictions that he's facing in life, that'll give way to the abounding joy that he'll experience in heaven. Over and over again, we see that in the psalm. Therefore, we need to incline our hearts to the word and do the words of God forever to the very end, verse 112. We pray, do not let us be ashamed of our hope, verse 116. And that confident expectation, that hope that we have, that all will be made right, that we will be made right. I cry for help today and hope for tomorrow, verses 146 and verse 147. His words are founded forever, it says in verse 152. There won't be any doing away with his words once we get into heaven. His word is forever, settled in heaven. His righteous judgments endure forever, verse 160. There's a promise laid up in heaven for us, and we know that because we know his words. Jesus said that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he will return to receive us to himself in the rapture. And we're going to always be with him. We will be where he is, John chapter 14 and verse 3. And so we find out through the words of God, we find out about the personality of God. We find out about the provision that God has given to us in his words, multifaceted. And then we find the promise of God in his words. So those that have souls that are breaking for the words of God tonight, what do they understand? People that really are steeped in the word of God, they understand something very, very important, that there are forms of godliness out there without substance, and they're aware of that. And so they are constantly making sure that they're in God's words. There's nothing wrong with the word religion. I mean, a lot of people don't want to use it today because it's misunderstood. It's like the word fundamentalist. You've got to take a half hour to explain it to someone, otherwise they're going to think you're some kind of wacko. But when we're talking about religion, religion is not a potty word, right? The idea, it can be used in a way where we understand the substance of our hope is found in being in God's words religiously. You're not always going to feel like it, that's for sure. But we have to have a religion. But the religion needs to occupy both the head and the heart. And if it's missing in either direction, you're going to have a lot of light, perhaps, with very little heat generated from your life, zeal. If you go the other way, too, you could have a lot of heat, a lot of zeal, and very little light. Both are problems in the churches around us today. So we understand the forms of godliness, but we need the substance of godliness. And then last, those with souls breaking with longing for God's words well understand that they're going to be facing plenty opportunities in life, in past and present circumstances, to experience deep shame and deep regret. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either. But if we neglect the words of God, we fail to see that very important lesson. If we're never humbled by the things that we say or the things that we do, and we're always right. And the problem is always with someone else, and we can't admit when we're wrong. Okay, then we're not going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have the words of God, and we will see these good works that God has prepared for us, according to Ephesians 2:10, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 17, when we see ourselves and we see our God accurately. And so beware of these forms that take precedent over substance, and embrace the past and present shame that you find in your life presently, because there's future glory awaiting you. There will be a time when all of that will be put away. And it makes us, when we're in that situation, it makes us long for heaven even more. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this section in the psalm. We pray for your blessing upon us as we take time out to pray this evening. Help us to remember that the God we serve hears and answers prayer. Lord, forgive us for those things that we take for granted, and how we get our minds fixed on the things of this life. Help us to keep our eye on the prize. Help us to be settled in what you have for us, and unwavering in the truth and hope we find in your word. We pray it in Jesus' name.